Hebrews 7. And we started last week, and we came through this gentleman by the name of Melchizedek, and we discussed Brother Melchizedek and all of those things, and that he's made, Christ was after the order of Melchizedek, meaning he had an eternal priesthood. And we're going through from chapter 5 through chapter 10 is the longest section of Hebrews chapter 10, and it has to deal with the supremacy of Christ's priesthood over the priesthood of Aaron. And there's some reasons why. Look in verse 23 with me. We're going to continue on this line of thinking. And they truly were many priests. Who? The Aaronic priesthood is who we're picking up with here in verse 23. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue. Well, why? By reason of death. Why is Christ's priesthood preeminent over for Melchizedek? We talked about it being eternal priesthood. We talked about Christ was there continually. Christ had a living priesthood, a changeless priesthood. But also Christ, the priesthood of the Aaronic priesthood among the Hebrew children was one that ended. They were only allowed to serve as priests for approximately 25 years. And they were removed either because of they extended that time, or they were removed because they went on to heaven and they died. And so their priesthood ended. And that's what he's saying here concerning Christ, the comparison between Christ and the Aaronic priesthood. And they were truly many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So we see here in verse 25 that word wherefore. Are you with me this morning? You got cobwebs in her eyes. You know, it's hard to get going sometimes, isn't it, on a Sunday morning? But we see this word wherefore is here. We want to look and see what it's there for. And we see wherefore he is able. We're still talking about Christ, the extent of Christ's ministry as a priest, which is superior to that old Hebrew economy, which we've been talking about over and over again. That economy ceased, and the priesthood of Christ is extended beyond that. It's eternal priesthood. Now, I want to speak about two things, and I want you to write them down, if you would, please. Let's talk about the divine intent. God's intention is to save. And then we have the divine extent. And the divine extent of God is to save to the uttermost. Look in verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save. That's God's intent. God is not willing that any should perish, but that what should come to repentance, class? All should come to repentance. That word all, it means pas, P-A-S, the whole of mankind. And we need to understand that Christ's priesthood for all mankind who have trusted him as their Savior is a priesthood that is superior to the priesthood of Aaron, because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and because of the character of who God is. We talk about people and their character. And what was God's character? His character, the intent of his character is that all men be saved everywhere. And we see that the divine intent is God's intention. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is, notice the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. What's it mean by separate from sinners? It means he knew no sin. He did not sin. In that he's separate from us in the fact that he is the priest capable of interceding for us because he did not know what sin was. He did not sin, separate from sin. And people say, well, he's The Bible says he sat with sinners and publicans and he ate with them. Yes, he did, but he wasn't one who partook of their sin. And he was one who ministered and tried to reach those people. You know, just like we try to reach the lost. We go into homes and we go into the community. And we try to reach boys and girls. It shouldn't stop there, should it? We ought to try to reach moms and dads and mean uncles and nasty aunts too, right? And well, I was going to say dogs, but they don't count. Dogs don't go to heaven. So I'm sorry to disappoint you if you think they do. But the intent that Christ has in his priesthood is based upon the character of who he is. He's holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, he's separate from sinners, verse 26, and made higher than the heavens. Now look in verse 25 with me. We have the intent is God would save based on his character. The extent is that he would save to the uttermost. Notice that in verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. That means completely. That means with assurance he's able to save us. We've hit this theme in chapter 5. We hit this theme in chapter 6. God is able in chapter 7 because he's made of a priesthood that's different from the priesthood that these Hebrews had believed in. And we're hitting this again, that God's intent, he is able to save. And then his extent of his ability to save is to the uttermost. This excites me, beloved, that Christ can save us to the uttermost. Let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. We're going to come back here, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Gentlemen, you're doing a great job listening to me this morning. You got thrown right into our class. And I appreciate you listening. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says this, "And now unto him, Christ, that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." How able is Christ? He's able to do all that we ask or think. 2 Timothy. Let's go there. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 12, we have the intent of Christ and the extent he is able. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, I believe in verse 12, if I can get my fingers a walking there. Let's read that together. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and persuaded that he is what, class? Able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's able to do above all that we ask or think. He's able to keep that which I have committed to him by faith against that day. What day? The day that he returns, the day of judgment, the day that we say, hey, my faith is in the Lord Jesus. He's able this morning, beloved, to save, according to Hebrews chapter 10. Now let's go to Acts chapter 20. I believe in verse 32. Acts 20. Verse 32, let's look at what the scripture says concerning the ability of God. Acts 20 and verse 32, it says the following, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to do what, class? Build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." We are built up in the faith. Being saved to the uttermost, it's more than just what we see, what we think of. I have been saved. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But we have the extent of Christ's ability to save. It's based upon his character. The character of Christ is he is able. Now, based upon that, beloved, if the character of Christ is he is able, then the character of man is he is not able. I am not able to uphold myself. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us and washed us and regenerated us according to the scripture. We are saved by his ability, not our ability. Now our faith must be placed... I'm about ready to fall. You're going to see me fall. I was about ready to totter. Our faith is placed in his ability. Just like this chair. I can walk around this chair. People who doubt the supremacy of Christ's priesthood, and they'll walk around it and they'll get close to it. And I say, I love Christ. He's so beautiful. And I imagine that he can uplift the life. And they'll look at that beautiful life of Christ. They'll even make things up concerning worship to that life of Christ. They may even have some man in a robe with some beads and incense shaking around, just like the Old Testament saints did, just like the priest did. And they're still stuck on all the beautiful things concerning Christ. They think what's beautiful, what man is called beautiful. And they see the incense and they see the fancy cathedral, and they think that they need someone that they need to go to, so they choose to look at Christ in a manner of, well, it's beautiful. Religion is a nice thing. It's something that we add or we bring alongside with us, our religion, our bringing along Christ to be able to save us. And they never take and place their weight on that which is really able to lift them up from the miry clay, from the depths of sin, and rest upon what He's already done. There's a vehicle there called the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, who has the ability to save you. But faith is saying, I let go and I rest completely upon His ability to carry me through, because He's able and I'm not able. Now, we have, visiting yesterday, we ran across a man. And this man was kind. He was a little bit gruff, but he wasn't unkind. But I mentioned to him, I said, we thank you for allowing your children to come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and we wanted to come and say, we want families, our family, to meet your family, and we want to talk to you about the Lord. Would you? Let me ask you a question. If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Well, I don't think anybody can know that. And I didn't argue with him. I want to leave the door open to possibly come back sometime to him in the future. But I did say, I know this, that the Lord Jesus Christ died, and He's able to lift us. He's able to give us life and life more abundantly. He's able. But he'd been around. He told us he's a member of a Pentecostal church. I don't know where, somewhere in the area. Where one of our areas where we pick up the children on the bus. And may I say to you that the Christ whom we cannot rest in is not the Christ of the Bible. Do you hear me this morning? When we deal with lost people, and we should deal with lost people. I've in the last couple of weeks, I felt a sense of urgency in taking the gospel more to lost people. Me personally. We should take but when we deal with lost people who are trusting in a hope, or they're trusting in a Christ who they think is not able to uphold them, that's not the Christ of the Bible. And we need to understand that Christ's priesthood, he's trying to explain to these Hebrews, is superior to the priesthood of Aaron, because the priesthood of Aaron ended, those men died and they went off the scene, but Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us. Would you look please here in verse 25 again, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Christ is able. I'm not able. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8 verse 17. I want to ask you this question. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus? Young men, have you ever trusted what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary? He died for your sin. He died for my sin. And if we've never trusted Him as our Savior, may I say to you, He has already died for you, and He's able to save you. He saved me. He's able to. And I hope that you've trusted Him this morning. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, let's read that. Well, that's not the right one. I'm in Hebrews. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Let's look at that verse together, please. And if children, if we've trusted the Lord, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. I'm sorry, I missed the verse I was trying to get to. For ye have not, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. I said we're not able, and what I meant to come to is this part of Scripture right here talking about the spirit of inheritance. When I leave something to my children, if I leave something to my children, it's not because of what my children have done, right? I don't leave something, you know, maybe, you know, maybe as a human. But an inheritance is something that we inherit because of the giver of the inheritance. Not because of how good the receiver is or isn't. A lot of times you see messes, right? You get an inheritance and it's passed on and you're thinking, that rotten rascal doesn't deserve that inheritance. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, he never honored his mom. He never honored his dad. He doesn't deserve that inheritance. And may I say to you that my salvation is not based upon whether or not I deserve it. My salvation is based upon the inheritance that Christ gives those who simply receive him by faith. It's not on my ability. It's on Christ's ability. Oh, and he's able, beloved. He's able to save you. And so now I want us to go back to Hebrews chapter 7. Let's look at that together. And I want to talk about three things, then we'll be done this morning. We'll be done a little bit early this morning. Hebrews chapter 7. Still in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, Todd. And in chapter 7, I want us to go back to verse 25. And let's read verse 25 again. Wherefore, we're talking about the eternal priesthood of Christ, the superiority of Christ's priesthood. He is able also to save them to the uttermost. And I want us to notice something here. This word uttermost is speaking. We've heard the term that God is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Tell me if you've heard something like that. And he's able to save the worst of sinners, what we consider the worst of sinners. The truth of the matter is all sin is exceedingly sinful. The sin of pride from a rich society type of person is just as wicked and get him to hell just as fast as the sin of drinking for a street bum somewhere in Jacksonville. But the truth of the matter is, what this is talking about is salvation in the second tense. We say this, I have been saved. I mean, remember, how many of you have been saved? Would you raise your hand? There's a time you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. You go to other people and say, I was saved on this date. And that is salvation from Christ, his work, from in the past. We talk in past tense. I have been saved. And when we say I have been saved, we're talking about the fact that Christ saved us from sin's penalty, right? In the past, I was saved, and when I was saved, I recognized that I am no longer under the penalty of death and hell and eternity in hell because I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's salvation in the past tense, as men is concerned. Now, we have to remember, God is eternal. He's not bound by past, present, and future, is he? But we are, so that's how we deal with things. And we have the fact that there's salvation in the past tense. But salvation for the believer is to the uttermost. It's also present tense. I am being saved from the power of sin. This is what's speaking about here in verse 25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. How are we saved in the present tense? Continue reading, class. Look with me. That come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make what? Intercession for us that trust him. That's salvation in the present tense. That is Christ's work presently. Let me ask you this question. Christ, we won't go to all the verses. You study it. You have the ability to take the word of God. You find out in the book of Matthew where Christ met with those few disciples and he what? Into heaven. He ascended into heaven, correct? Amen? How many would say, yes, I can find that in the scripture? Okay, good. If you can't find it in scripture, you come to me. I'll get the scripture verses for you and I'll show them to you. But he ascended into heaven. Why? Because he's done on earth and hey, it's all over. I'm done. Is that what the scripture just told us? True or false, class? He ever liveth to make what for us? Intercession for us. That is salvation from sin's presence, its power in our life through the life of the living Lord Jesus Christ. His work is still ongoing in heaven for us. But what kind of work does he do? He's making intercession. Well, why? Is there someone, is there a third party that's adverse to us? Yes, there is. His name is Satan. And the last part of the book of Revelation, I don't have time this morning, we'll take it, but if you'll go study around the last chapters of Revelation, you're going to see that Satan he's there day and night, Scripture says, accusing the brethren. And when he accuses the brethren, Christ is there saying, Lord, he's mine. Lord, she's mine. Father, I died for them and they placed their faith in me. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. That is salvation from sin's power presently through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's saved to the uttermost. Now that's not the end of it, beloved, because not only does he do that, not only does he have the ability to do that, he sent us a comforter. The Holy Spirit of God who lives in us, who gives us the ability to say no to sin's power here on earth. That's how great he is. He's able to do the work completely. We're going to talk about the actual work of the priest next week. But the author, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is simply saying this. There is power that you can tap into, and that is salvation's power from the penalty of sin, which you've already done, from the presence of sin, that's salvation present tense, but that's not all. But also, number three, from sin's power, sin's present, from its past, its presence, but it's also salvation's future tense. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Write that down and look that up sometimes. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we believe. Now, what's the author saying there in Romans chapter 3? Is he saying that we're not saved yet? No. He's not saying that at all. He's simply saying this. There are three tenses. Past, present, our future salvation. When we are absent from the body and present with the Lord. Are we absent from the body yet, beloved? No. And so we have not been saved from sin's presence yet, have we? We have the ability to be saved from sin's power to carry us to hell. If we tap into the resources that's left with us, the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God aids us, but we still sin, doesn't he? But he aids us not to be continuing in sin. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin, brethren? That grace may abound? Romans chapter what's 5, 6, 7, somewhere around there. God forbid. The Christian's not to remain under the power of sin if he's trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, because he has the Holy Spirit of God living in him. And because we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us, we have the ability to be saved from the power of sin presently. But I thank God that one day I'm going to be saved from sin's presence permanently. Aren't you? And one day He's going to call us either. Remember that old song. I don't know if you remember it. Salvation's future tense. See, the song went, yesterday He died for me. He died, yesterday He died for me. This is history. Today He lives for me. He lives, today He lives for me. This is victory. Then it says that last verse, tomorrow He comes for me. He comes, tomorrow He comes for me. This is victory. What's that saying? Past, present, and future, I'm redeemed by His power, by His presence, by His future returning again for me one day in heaven. If we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the three tenses of salvation is to the uttermost, the uttermost. Let's look in verse 26 of Hebrews chapter 7. We'll be done here in just a minute. For such an high priest became us who is holy. How can He save us? He's harmless. He's undefiled. He's separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. Verse 27. Who needeth not daily as those high priests, the Aaronic priesthood. This is why we don't have priests. This is why Pastor Jerry doesn't come out here in a robe and all that kind of stuff and come and bless us. Because Pastor Jerry is our under-shepherd under the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's not our high priest. We have the ability. In fact, the Bible says we are made kings and priests when we've trusted the Lord. I don't have time. I don't have that listed. If you want to look that up in the Scripture, look that up or come ask me and I'll find it for you. But I know it's in there because the Holy Spirit just brought to my memory that we've been made priests and we have the ability, we're going to see later on in a couple chapters, to come right to the throne of grace for ourselves. But we have many religions. They got some priest that's got to tell them. What's your name, buddy? Warren?
William.
William. Nice to meet you, William. William doesn't have to come to me and say, hey, I blew it. William, do you ever blow it, buddy? I do. I don't have to go to William and say, William, you need to forgive me or get God to forgive me for my sins. Why? Because Christ has done everything for us, hasn't He? And you don't have to do that either. You don't have to go to some priest. You don't have to say some kind of prayer to some dead woman. Excuse me. She was blessed among women. But she's not holy. She's not harmless. She's not undefiled. She was a sinner just like you and I are. But you know what? We have the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's able to save to the uttermost. Past, present, future. Secure. Take your hymn book right in front of you and we're going to be done. 153. I've been touched by this, thinking about this week. I need to get a drink here. As you're turning there, it says at the midst, one of these verses. Look in the fifth verse there of hymn 153. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose. That's another word for salvation. I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake. Praise God. I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. God promises, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We're in the midst of the book of Hebrews, and for some reason this is important to the author of Hebrews under the inspiration of God to hit this point over and over again. God's able. His priesthood is supreme. God is willing. God is able. Why? Because He knows the devil day and night accusing us. He'll accuse us to the Father and He'll accuse us to ourselves. You're not worthy. No, I'm not. But I'm leaning upon the one who is. And He says, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Thank God that He's able to save to the uttermost. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. Listen, beloved, we ought to be reaching the lost with a message of Scripture that truly represents the God of the Bible as He is. He's not one who leads us to doubt. He's one that leads us to surety in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us this morning. If there's one here this morning who doesn't know what it is to trust You as their Savior, I pray that they'll turn to You for that salvation to the uttermost. We also pray for those who have doubts. I pray that You assure them if they've trusted You as their Savior, that their salvation is not based upon what they have done, but upon the finished work of Your unchangeable priesthood. We'll be careful to praise and honor You through how You work in our lives. Help us this week to reach the lost with a gospel message somewhere about how great You are and what You can do for them. Heavenly Father, be with Pastor. Fill him with the Holy Spirit's power as he comes to preach this morning. Help us to listen to the Word of God. Be willing to hear what the Word of God has for us. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. God bless you.